All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. We are back talking about the will of God. We finished up with that separation and sanctification. We finished up talking about that, the will of God, even your sanctification. We talked about that for about a month, actually. We went through and talked specifically about separation, sanctification. Now we're going to talk about the will of God, giving thanks. And, you know, this is something, praising God or giving thanks, which is included in praising God. But really, this is something for us to think about and something for us, because this is the will of God for the believer's life. God very specifically says this in His Word. And when God says something specifically about His will in the Word of God, we ought to pay very close attention to what He is saying to us. Because it's something that God, it means it's something that God has commanded us to do, and He expects us to do. God expects us to be thankful people. God expects us to be people that praise His name. God expects us to live a life of thankfulness and gratefulness to Him. And it should be seen in our lives. It should be seen in the way we treat one another, our actions and everything else, that we are a grateful and thankful people. Right? It ought to be there. We are a people that are mixed with sorrow and joys. That is true. And we'll talk about that next week when we talk about the will of God, suffering and the will of God. Because that is part of the will of God, and sorrow and things like of that. But the Bible says that we have sorrows, yet we're full of joy, right? We have those two things working in us, just like Christ did when He was here. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Well, this is very specific language. It says very specifically concerning you. This is God's will for you and I. It's God's will expressly spoken here and given to us here, written down for us here, that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, that you give thanks, that in everything, that you live a life of thankfulness to God. Let's pray. Father, please help us now as we look into this. Help our hearts to receive it. And Lord, if there's areas we need to repent, help us to get right with you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 26, verse 7 says this, "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." Psalm 95:2 says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." Another verse tells us, "I will praise the name of God with a psalm and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." All over the Scriptures we are told, again in Psalm 116:17, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." Offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thankful hearts. Thankful people. That is the will of God. It is God's will for you. 100% a preacher can stand before you and he can tell you that it is God's will for your life, that you and I give thanks unto God. Absolutely, there's no dark mystery there. There's no confusion there, that you and I should live a life of thankfulness to God. And we should express our thankfulness to God. Right? That's the will of God, very plainly. It's not a mystery. It's what God expects from His children. Now, the thing you have to ask is, do I have that heart? Do I express thankfulness to God? Do people know me as being someone that is thankful to God? Someone that is grateful to God? Or do they know me in a different fashion? So the first thing that I want to speak about today is, number one, just to give you a reminder that the opposite of that is what God hates, and that's murmuring and complaining. God hates murmuring and complaining. He absolutely hates it. In Exodus 16, verse 7 to 8, "And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us?" And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. When you have a murmuring spirit, when you have a complaining spirit, God hears it. You know something? God hears your prayers. But he also hears your murmurings and complainings. And God is not well pleased with our murmurings and complainings. When we murmur and complain, God is not pleased with that. That angers the Lord. The quickest way to bring judgment down and chastening of the Lord upon your life is for you to complain and murmur against God. Because when you murmur against those in authority, maybe it's children against their parents, or maybe it's people against their pastor or something like that, when you murmur and complain about those things, you're not... God says you're murmuring and complaining against him. Because you somehow see it in your mind that there's been this great disservice done to you. Right? When a wife murmurs and complains about her husband, God hears it. When a husband murmurs and complains about his wife, God hears it. God hears it. He hears what they're doing, what we're doing when we do that. Numbers 14:26, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. God said, how long shall I bear them? How long shall I bear with them? Verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. God says, well, you know, the quickest way you want to bring all that destruction upon yourselves, just go ahead and murmur and complain about me. And you say, well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. So that doesn't apply to me. Well, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 10, and we'll see if that applies to you and I. I think you'll find that it does. Paul was very specific here when he spoke to the Corinthians. He said this, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured in verse 10, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Those things were written for you and I, that we would understand that God hates murmuring and complaining. And if we murmur and complain like that, we can expect the chastening of the Lord. The quickest way to bring that upon yourselves is to do the opposite of what our text says. Our text says that it is the will of God that we give thanks. But when we do the opposite of that, when we murmur and complain, we're going to bring chastening upon us. God will teach you to be grateful for what you have. He'll teach you to be satisfied, right? In what sort of state you're in therewith to be content. He'll teach you that. If you murmur and complain, he'll teach you to be grateful for what you have. He'll teach you to be grateful for what he's provided for you and what he's done for you. That word murmur, it means a complaint, half suppressed, listen, or uttered in a low muttering voice. That murmuring is, by the way, and I've seen people do this a lot, they speak under their breath. And they're actually murmuring, complaining, whether it's against their husband and wife, against leadership, children, whatever the case may be. When you see a child do those things, you need to quickly correct that because it's wrong. When they're murmuring and speaking under their breath, and you say, well, they obeyed what I said. No, they didn't. Not from the heart. They're being rebellious. It's like when they roll their eyes or when they don't show you respect. When they're doing those things, just because you say, well, I spanked them, that doesn't mean anything. If they have the same attitude, then you haven't won the victory. You haven't dealt with the problem. The problem is the heart, and you haven't dealt with it yet. And you need to recognize those outward signs. Well, God recognizes that murmuring and complaining and speaking under your breath, whether it's against leadership, whether it's a husband and wife, whether it's people and their pastor, whatever it is, whatever it is, children to their parents, whatever it is, that murmuring and complaining, God hears it. It's the opposite of praise. It's the opposite of grateful hearts. It's the opposite of being thankful. It's the absolute opposite of it. It means to grumble or to complain, to utter complaints in a low, half-articulated voice. To utter sullen discontent with, at, before the thing that is the cause of discontent. Right? As the Bible speaks of, murmur not at sickness or with or against it before the active agent which produces evil. So it's to grumble or to complain. That muttering. It reminds God of the devil, by the way, because Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 says that, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living, to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? They speak not according to this word. It is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look upon the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. God hates that. God hates that spirit of murmuring and complaining. It's something that God warns us about, that if we do that, that chastening will come. God will chasten us. He'll teach us to be thankful for what He's given us. He'll teach us not to, you know, complain against His providence, complain against His goodness to us. We're to do the absolute opposite of that. We're not to be those murmurers and complainers. God judges us for that. Remember that. If you ever wonder in your life why things are going a certain way and you look around and you seem to never be pleased with what God has done or pleased with what anybody does for you, you don't have a thankful heart. You don't have a gracious heart that's thankful for the things that God has given you. You're not pleased with those things. You're not content with those things. You have a heart of discontent against God. Those things God deals with. Especially as children of God, because children of God are supposed to be thankful people. We're supposed to live in that spirit of gratefulness to God because we've been saved from so much. And we ought to rejoice in that. We ought to be thankful to God for that. Number two, we're commanded to give thanks. In everything, the text says, in everything give thanks. For this reason, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's why we're to give thanks. That's why. Because no matter what comes the Christian's way in this life, no matter what it is that comes our way, no matter what trials and challenges come our way, we're to give thanks unto the Lord. And the reason why is because God says that all these things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So, if you love God and if you follow the Lord, then what's going to befall you, though it may not be pleasant to your flesh, God promises that in the end it's going to work righteousness in you. He promises that. That's most of the time things that are unpleasant to our flesh are good for our spirit because they cause us to rely upon the Lord. They cause us to seek God's face and to trust Him. We should be thankful people. Every occurrence may be a subject of gratitude and thankfulness while we live to God. Prosperity and adversity will be equally helpful to us. They both are. Prosperity can be equally helpful and so can adversity. Adversity does not mean that you're doing something wrong. It doesn't mean that. When adversity comes in your life, it doesn't mean that you're in sin. It means that sometimes God uses those things to test our faith and that they all work together for good. Now, you don't see that right now, just like we talked about before, because it's like a cake that's being made. And if you eat a cake before it's ready and with all the ingredients not being in it and before it's cooked and before it goes through everything, it doesn't taste very good. But once it's finished, it tastes great. And that's how your life is in Christ. It will taste great one day. The whole thing will. It will be a sweet savor unto the Lord. It will be. God promises that. We should be thankful in every condition, said one, and even in adversity as well as prosperity. It is never so bad with us, but it might be worse. If we have ever so much occasion to make our humble complaints to God, we never can have any reason to complain of God, and have always much reason to praise and to give thanks, all for good temporal or spiritual or eternal things. John Gill. Pray without ceasing. Before we are, and we're going to touch on this in a few minutes, but before we are commanded to give thanks in all things, we are commanded to pray without ceasing. I'm going to tell you at the end, give you some guides and some principles of how you and I can have, are given the ability, and what procedures and what principles to follow so you and I can give thanks into all things. The way that God has designed it in the scriptures for you and I to be able to do that. Because if you don't follow God's formula or God's way, then you won't give thanks in all things. You won't. You'll complain and you'll murmur against God. We are told in everything to give thanks. If we pray without ceasing, we shall not want matter for thanksgiving in everything. As we must in everything make our requests known to God by supplication, so we must not omit thanksgiving. We'll cover that in Philippians 4:6 later. But the Bible says that if you're to give thanks, if you're to give thanks in all things, and you're to pray without ceasing, always being that mindset of prayer will keep you in a mindset of giving thanks unto God and being very thankful to God. The problem is when you're in a mood, when you're in a mindset of complaint all the time, when you're in a mindset of murmuring all the time, when you're in a mindset of discontent all the time, the reason for that is that you're not in a mindset of prayer. So you're giving yourself over to that discontented heart. And I'm going to tell you something. All of us have to watch that, but ladies have to really watch that, not giving themselves over to discontentment. One of the number one things that causes a woman to fall in her Christian life is discontentment. Discontentment. It's one of the most common ways for a lady to stray away from God, for a wife or a mother. A child got to stray away from God is to become discontent in your heart. Discontent towards your husband. Discontent towards the circumstance. Discontent toward the financial situation you may be in. Discontent towards the children. And discontentment, it'll lead you right out of the will of God. It'll lead you right into sin. And that could be for a man too as well. But it's typical for a woman in that sense to be discontent, because a woman has to follow her husband's will. She has to follow her husband's will most of the time. And when she's following her husband's will most of the time, discontentment can arise from that. Especially if she believes that she knows better than her husband. And she can do better than her husband. She knows that in her mind. Now, whether that's true or not is debatable. And probably not. But in her mind, she knows that her way is better. Right? So then what does that cause? Discontentment. It stirs up in the heart. So a lack of prayer leads to discontentment. A lack of prayer leads to a lack of praise. A lack of prayer leads to a lack of giving thanks. We should be thankful in every condition, even in adversity as well as prosperity. It is never so bad, right? Give thanks. This is the command of God over and over again. The sense according to this would be that we are to praise God for His general mercy to mankind, right? God is generally merciful to all creatures, right? For all the happiness which mortals are permitted to enjoy. For the love of God to mankind in creation, in providence, and in redemption. Just as a grateful child will give thanks for all the kindness shown to his brothers and sisters, we ought to do the same. To think about this for a second. One obvious effect of this would be to overcome selfishness and to make us rejoice in the happiness of others as well as in our own happiness. If you're always giving thanks to the Lord, then you won't be given over to selfishness. You won't think about your own needs being met more than somebody else's. And you'll be able to rejoice when somebody else is blessed, when somebody else is given something that you don't have. Right? It also, giving thanks like that, giving in that mindset of giving thanks always, which is the will of God, another effect of that would be to make us feel a deeper interest in the condition of our fellow creatures. So we're not selfish and we actually care about others. We're actually, it matters how others are, right? Another would be to elevate and enlarge our conceptions of the goodness of God. When you actually mine out things and you actually meditate on being thankful to God and things that you can be thankful for. You know, when you're feeling down and discontented and you're murmuring and complaining, you have a spirit like that, the best thing you could do is pray and start thanking God for all of His goodness to you. Specifically, not generally speaking, specifically, mining out those things, writing them down, meditating upon God's goodness to you. Amen. And if you can't think of anything, it means that your heart is very hard and ungrateful. Very ungrateful. Man has much for which to be grateful for. And the duty of acknowledging the mercy of God to mankind should not be forgotten. We are often prone to magnify our calamities and to contemplate the woes of the world that we overlook the occasions for gratitude that we should have. We look on the mercies which we enjoy as well as the miseries which we endure that our hearts may be right. We don't look at both of them. We just look at the miseries. You, by the way, if more comes out of your mouth about how bad things are and not how good God is to you and how good God is to your family and how good God is in your present situation, how good God is to take care of you, if more of the complaints and the murmuring comes out than the positive, than what God has done for you, then your heart is imbalanced. You're not balanced correctly. Because it should weigh very heavily on praising God. It should weigh very heavily on being content with such things as you have. It should weigh very heavily on thanking God and praising Him for His goodness to you. It should weigh very heavily on that. More, way more than it does about your complaints in life. Those are grateful hearts. He who looks only on his trials will soon find his mind soured in complaining. You want to sour yourself and complain? Just think about every trouble that you have and focus on that. Let that grind your gears in your mind and think solely on that. And guess what happens? I'll tell you what happens. That's all you'll think about. And all that will come out of you will be bitterness. It'll be bitterness. Why? Because that's all you're focused on. You're not focused on the goodness of God. You're not focused on God's grace. You know, sometimes God sends some really severe things our ways because of that. Because of our unthankfulness. Because of our ungratefulness. Sometimes God withholds His assurances and allows us to struggle with some things in order for us to learn to be grateful for the for simple salvation in Christ and His grace and His goodness to us, right? I thought about different things like when I went through depression and different things like that and went through those times. And one of my pastor friends, during that same time, within 90 days, lost his wife. She died of cancer. A very aggressive, severe cancer that took her in 90 days' time. And she was dead. And I thought about how good we have it. And how much we ought to rejoice. And this man is still rejoicing, even though his heart is full of sorrow and grief. Right? But we complain sometimes about our very duties that we have that are centered around the gifts that God has given us. The gift of a wife and the gift of children and the gift of families and the gift of church and the gift of being able to provide for our families and the gift of being able to give to others and all of those things and to sacrifice for others. And we're not thankful for that. When any morning we could wake up and look over and our beloved could be dropped dead in the bed. I have another man that there's a street preacher. He woke up one day and his wife didn't. She was dead. No warning. No occurrence of anything that was wrong, just dead. He just woke up and she was dead. That can be any one of us. So when you get up and you go to work, you ought to thank God you're getting up and going to work. You ought to thank God you got breath in your lungs, that God gives you the strength to do it, that God breathes into you strength and life to be able to continue to do the things that you're able to do. Amen. You ought to be thankful to God for all that He's done. And we ought to teach thankfulness and teach our children that work is not a punishment. Those things are not punishments from God. They're blessings from God. God gave that to us, and they're blessings that we can do those things, right? They're blessings from God, and we ought to be thankful for them. But he who looks only on his trials will soon find his mind soured and complaining. He who endeavors to find how many occasions for gratitude he has will soon find the burden of his sorrows alleviated and his mind tranquil and calm. That's very true. Albert Barnes said that. Very true about that. That if you, it matters what you focus on. Sometimes you can get... You know why people kill themselves? I don't believe they're saved, but I believe one of the reasons why they're so sorrowful and they kill themselves is they never come out of themselves. They stay there on one track and one thought process, and they don't leave it. They don't break the track. They don't break the process. They continue on with the same thing, and they ignore everything around them and everyone around them, and they become extremely self-consumed and morbid. And that morbidity, when it continues in lost people, it's the sorrow of this world, and it works death. It kills them. That's what happens. Why? Because they're stuck on themselves. They're stuck on every problem, and they can only see one thing. That's why, listen, I want to explain something to you as a pastor. You may come to me with something, and you see one thing. And you're like, man, this thing's got to get taken care of right away. I see the bigger picture. And I'm like, yeah, well, there's more to it than just that. I know from your mindset the whole world's going to fall apart because this is going on right now. But there's many lives connected to decisions that are made and things that happen and all that kind of stuff. And if you think just digging something up, rooting something up and dealing with something right away all the time is the best thing and it has to be taken care of now and all that stuff, well, sometimes people get hurt real bad. Right? Because of that. Sometimes things can happen really bad with people. And sometimes you don't know the whole story. You don't know what else is going on, the background around it all. What else is going on, that there's more to it than just that. Right? Well, when we get tunnel vision, sometimes it's only one thing. And man, I'm telling you what, that one thing, you just get absolutely obsessed with it. That's how those people do that. They get so obsessed with all their failures, all their faults, all their downcast things, everything else. They get so depressed and discouraged and distraught over those things and consumed by it that they kill themselves. That's what happens. It's very common. When really, if they just talk to somebody, number one, the Lord, but number two, if they talk to somebody else, somebody could explain to them, you know, you're looking very narrowly. And your judgment is very flawed. This is what I tell Christians when they get in depression and despondency and things like that. I tell them, well, listen, take it from somebody that's outside looking in, that you have tunnel vision right now and you're only seeing one thing and it's not very accurate. Your balance is off in your judgment, right? And you're only seeing, you have one track here and it's not a good one. Right? And I try to explain that to them and show them the bigger picture of that. Right? Show them that there's more to it than that. Well, that's what happens here. That's what he's saying. If you focus on your sorrows and not giving of thanks, see, you can, if you focus on giving thanks to God for everything, it'll balance everything else out in your life. Because you can't thank God enough. You can't be grateful enough to God. You can't be thankful enough to God. We're not thankful enough to God. We're not grateful people enough to God. We aren't. We absolutely are not. Amen. Psalm 140, verse 13. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Psalm 119, 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. When's the last time you woke up in the middle of the night and because you were awake like that and just started thanking God for his goodness? Being grateful to God and thanking him for being good to you. Thanking him for feeding you and clothing you, thanking you for giving you a family, thank you for giving you a church, thank him for giving you everything that he has. Thankful that you're not in hell. Thankful that there's breath in your lungs still and you're still alive, because life is such a gift, not to be squandered, but to be used for his glory. Being thankful to God. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Giving thanks, right? Because God has saved sinners, right? Giving thanks for others. When's the last time you gave thanks to others, for others? You gave thanks for God bringing others into your life, bringing you brothers and sisters in Christ, thanking God for your family, for your brothers and sisters that you have, and for your children that you have, and for the husband that you have, and the church family that you have. When's the last time you thanked God for those things? You were thankful. That's the will of God, that you express thanks. That you don't complain about everybody, but you're thankful for them. Right? That you don't spend your days complaining. You know what? We can nitpick each other to death. We really can. We're really good at that. It's not hard. I mean, it's easy to find somebody's faults. It's easy to do that. We can do that. It's simple. I mean, it's not hard. It's very easy to do that, isn't it? How about you find something to be thankful about for that person? For those people. Right? Thankful. Thankful people. Grateful people. It's the will of God. Plain and simple. Thankful for your pastor. Thankful for your church. Thankful for what God has given you. Thankful for God's word. It is God's will that his people give thanks. Let me ask you a question. How are you doing with that? When's the last time you rose up to give thanks unto God? When's the last time you practiced that when you were thankful to God? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Something that you expressed. Does your family know you're thankful for them? Do your children know you're thankful for them? Does your husband know you're thankful? Does your wife know you're thankful for her? Do you tell them? Do you tell them? Do you tell your children, or do you only correct them and that's all they hear from you is how much correct? They never hear a good job and what good they've done and how hard they've worked and how grateful you are for that and how thankful you are for them. Right? When's the last time you... Well, I'm not that type of person. Well, you need to become that type of person. Amen. You should become that type of person. You need to be thankful. You need to express thankfulness. People need to know that you don't only look at them with a critical eye all the time, but you actually have a heart of thankfulness for them. You're actually grateful for them. Right? Your heart expresses that to them. Next, it says here, very specifically, in all things, to give thanks. In all things. We can always find something to be thankful for, said one. There may be reasons why we ought to be thankful for even those dispensations which appear dark and frowning. We're to be thankful for the darkness that God sends us as well as the light. We're to be thankful for those hard times, those times of adversity. Right? We ought to praise God for everything that happens to us under His government. You and I owe a debt of obligation to Him. Because God uses things to recall us from our wanderings. God uses dark dispensations, dark providences, and things that we don't understand sometimes to draw us back into Him. By the way, sometimes you've got that adversity in your life because you're cold. And God sends it. Spiritually cold. Amen. Spiritually cold. Not following the Lord. Not faithful in your Bible. Not faithful in your prayer time. Not faithful in walking in the Spirit. But backslidden and cold. So darkness comes and adversity comes and trials come to bring you back in, to pull you back in, to draw you closer. Are there any dealings of God towards His people that really end up bad for them? Is a man ever made to drink the cup of affliction when no drop of mercy is intermingled? Is he ever visited with calamity which does not in some way contemplate his own temporal or eternal good? Good questions. It's very true because every hard thing that's ever happened to me in this life has always turned out, since I've been saved, has always turned out to the glory of God. It's always turned out to better my walk with Christ. It's always taught me to walk with Him closer, to pay closer attention to my steps. Right? That's got to be true, because the Bible says it is. Could we see all, we should see that we are never placed in circumstances in which there is not much for which we should be thankful. We are always to be thankful to God. One said it this way, and when His dealings, a cloud seems to cover His face, let us remember the good things without number which we have received, and especially remember that we are in the world of redeeming love, and we shall find enough for which to be thankful, especially for Jesus Christ, for such a husband, such a head, such a surety and Savior, and an advocate with the Father as He is, and for life and peace and joy and comfort and righteousness and salvation that is in Him. And thanks should be given to God in every circumstance of life, in adversity as Job did, when not in so comfortable and agreeable a frame of a soul to be wished for, since it might be worse. And is not black despair, even under the temptations of Satan, since they might be at times greater and heavier, and since the grace of God is sufficient to bear up under them and deliver us out of them, and since there is such a sympathizing high priest and Savior in heaven, and in afflictions of every kind, since they are in everything, we are to give thanks, we are to pray without ceasing, and we shall not want matter for thanksgiving in everything. It's easy to give thanks when all is going well and the sun is shining and God is giving you everything you want. But when those clouds come and darkness covers you and He hides His smiling face from you, you are commanded to give thanks. Job said it in Job 1:20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. See, Job had a lot of darkness given to him. In fact, he reminds his wife in Job 2, verse 10. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. See, there are times you believe that you should receive all good at God, but no evil. That God should not send those trials your way. That evil. Now, evil is not sin. Doesn't mean it's sin. It means an evil thing that could come your way. As we think of evil in the modern day terms, we have such a narrow version, a view of what that, a definition of what that is. But all evil is not sin, but all sin is evil. Right? But evil in this sense, God sends evil our way. He sends good our way. He sends evil our way. He sent trials Job's way. Evil comes in the form of trials and our circumstances and different things in our tribulations that happen to us. God sends them. You have to ask yourself, do I believe in the present state I am in, do I believe that God has ordered and sent these trials my way? That's the question you have to ask. And the second question you have to ask is, what is God trying to teach me with that? And the Bible says that in all things we're to give thanks unto God. So even with evil that is sent our way, we're to give thanks. We're to be thankful people. We're not to say, well, when good is sent my way, I'll be thankful. But when evil is sent my way, I'll just curse God and die. See, that's what happens to so many Christians. When the trials come their way, they want to give up. They want to quit. They want to think that it must be the devil that's doing all of this, and it must not be from God. And they give so much credit to the devil, and they give no credit to their Father in heaven, who mixes and guides and orders their steps. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That means that God orders those steps, and God sent those trials your way. Because God can stop anything that he wants to. Amen. He can stop anything from coming your way that he wants to. He can stop depressions. He can stop those other things from coming your way. He can stop those trials from coming your way. He can stop those things from happening. He could have stopped everything that happened to Job. It was in God's power to stop that, but he didn't. And there are times, and God sends you things on purpose. He sends you adversity and trials on purpose. Right? He sends them to you on purpose. And it's about time that God's people recognize that and stop denying that. And stop denying God's hand in their lives because evil is brought to them and not always good. That they only want to accept what's good and not what's evil. In that sense, what's trying to them, what's not pleasant to them, what's challenging to them. So they don't give thanks in those things, but they murmur and complain. Because they really, what happens is our focus is not that we believe that God is actually sending that our way. Like the trials that you're having in your life right now, that God is not sending them your way. Of course he is. Because that's what God does. He does that for you. He directs those things to his children. I mean, you don't believe God's like poor parents that don't parent their children, right? No, God actually teaches his children. He teaches them through trials. He teaches them through adversities. He teaches them through life. And he teaches them to trust him. And he's commanded them, while you follow me and my will, part of my will is this, that you give thanks. See, sometimes we don't want to accept it, though. Whatever it is. We don't want to accept that it's God that sends it our way. And that leads to such immaturity, and it also leads to a lot more sorrow, because you're fighting God. You're actually resisting the Lord, because you're not accepting that it's God that's done this. It's God that's allowed this to happen. And we have to accept it that it's for our own good. And what lessons does God have for us in that? Well, one of those is, will you be thankful in adversity? That's one of the major lessons that God sends you as a Christian. Will you be thankful in adversity? Will you be thankful in evil that is sent your way? Do you have a thankful spirit? Well, that'll be tested. Well, it's not... When all the bills are paid, when the sun is shining, when everything's going well, when God gives me everything I want, and all these things happen, will you praise God? Yes, we praise and thank God. Oh, praise the Lord. Right? This is going good, and I have this, and I have that. Well, God tests you. Do you have a thankful spirit? Do you have a spirit of praise? Well, we'll see. Because when adversity comes, do you still praise God? When trials come, do you still praise God? When you fall and break your arm, do you still love God? Do you still praise God? When you hurt your back, right? Do you still praise God? Are you still thankful to the Lord? When God doesn't give you what you want, and if he never gives you what you want, will you still praise God and be thankful to him? That's the question, isn't it? Because maybe God's going to say, no, that's not good for you, and I won't give it to you. I don't know that, because I don't know what we're talking about. But generally speaking, of course... Will you praise God? There are many times that we'll besought the Lord. Paul says he besought the Lord three times, right? We'll seek after God's face, and he asked God to remove something from him. God said, "No, I'm not doing that. Don't ask me that again. I'm not taking that away from you. I'll give you everything else. I ain't giving you that." And he does. Right? Will you be thankful to God? Will you praise God if God says no? Amen. Job did. Job knew that he would receive good at the hand of the Lord as well as evil in this life, and that he should bless the Lord and give thanks to God. To the Christian who really trusts his Father's providence and believes that his prayers are heard, every moment's occurrence will be just that which he has prayed for, the fulfillment of our Father's will. It is for this reason that thanksgiving is so inseparably joined with prayer. Prayer and thanksgiving, they can't be separated. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, Colossians 4, 2. Let's go to Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So check this out. So you're not to be anxious or over fearful for anything. That means be careful for nothing. That's what he's talking about there. But in everything, by prayer, number one, supplication, coupled with what? Thanksgiving. Sometimes you don't get your prayers answered the way that you would like them to be answered because you're not thankful. And God knows you're not thankful. So he doesn't answer them the way that you would like at that time. In the timing that you would like in that sense. With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. So whatever I'm going through, when the sky is falling down, when there's no money in the bank, when everything is happening, when I don't know how I'm gonna, my health is bad, when these trials are surrounding me, when my child goes wayward, when things are not going right, when my heart is not right, when I have depression, anxiety, and all these other things that I'm going through, and I'm dealing with a number of different issues, when things in my life are not going the way that I would like them, and I'm under severe adversity and trials. Well, what am I supposed to do? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's what you're supposed to do. Why? Because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's why. It's God's will. That's why you're to do it. You know why prayer is effective? Because it's God's will. That's why it's effective. Because it's the will of God. Prayer is a part of God's will. His commands are His will. And he commands us to pray. That's why you don't have to worry about whether God's going to take care of you and meet your needs. And everything, because when you pray and seek God's face, that's God's will. God said for you to pray. So that's why it's always going to be beneficial to the believer to pray. Because it's God's will. That's why you never waste prayer. There's never a waste to pray. It's always beneficial because it's always God's will for you to pray. That's why you're to pray without ceasing. Because it's always God's will. Simple, isn't it? Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. He says it again here. Continue in prayer. That's forever until you go home. Your orders have not changed. They will not change until you go home. Continue in prayer. And watch the same, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Being watchful, having a watchful heart of prayer. Being ready with thanksgiving to give thanks unto God. Your prayer should include thanks to God. They should include thankfulness. If all you are is asking God for everything, which you should do, I'm not minimizing that. You should always do that. You should ask God for everything. You should unload your heart on everything to God. And by the way, you know what? Some of you don't do that. That's why you feel like you have a need to go tell a man something because you don't tell God. If you tell God enough, you don't need to tell a single soul anything. I'm not saying you don't need help sometimes. I understand that. We all do. We all need somebody to talk to sometimes. But you know what? Primarily, you should be unfolding your soul to God. You should be melting before God. You should have times when you confess everything to God. The deepest, darkest, dirtiest, nastiest thing about your mind and heart that you hate the most, that God should hear from your lips and your heart. He should hear from your heart, poured out to Him. He should hear it. God should hear it. You should pour it out to Him. Amen? The only way that you can obey this command of giving thanks always is through prayer. That's why in our text, what do we see before verse 18? Pray without ceasing. Then he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So notice what he says here. He says, pray without ceasing. So how can I ensure that I have a thankful heart and I'm obeying the will of God constantly when it comes to this thing of praise, that I pray without ceasing, that I'm always in a mindset of prayer? If I would be a thankful person, if I would express thankfulness, then I need to pray. I need to always be praying, because if I'm always praying, then I'm going to give thanks. I can obey the commands of God then, and I can give thanks unto God, and I can be thankful. The key to me being able to give thanks is prayer. Because though it's the will of God that I give thanks in all things, God has a means by which that will is accomplished, and that means is prayer. It is prayer. It is the one thing that Christians neglect. You know why Christians neglect prayer so much? Because nobody's watching them on earth. So sometimes they neglect their personal devotion and their prayer time. Why is that? Because nobody's watching them. It's called self-governance in that sense, and temperance, and it's called getting the mastery over oneself. You say, you know, I have a problem being faithful with my Bible and faithful with prayer. Well, it's because you don't have control over your own spirit. And you need the Holy Ghost's help to do that. Well, I'm a busy person. Wonderful. You're a busy person that's not reading their Bible and praying enough. I don't care. I don't care how busy you are. That doesn't have nothing to do with it. It has to do with your obedience to God. It doesn't have anything to do with your schedule. Because I'll tell you what, you can fit in anything your flesh wants to. And you will, too. Amen. You know that full well. If your flesh wants to fit in something, you'll fit it in to please self. You'll find a way to please self. Amen. But thanksgiving is called the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of praise. Right? You will never be able to give thanks in dark providences or trying times without ceaseless prayer. That's why you must always be in a mindset of prayer. If you're not always in that, then you'll despair. Remember this. Remember this key. Without prayer, you're in despair. Remember that. Without prayer, you're in despair. That's how it happens. When I neglect prayer, I can expect despair. I can expect it. Because I'm neglecting the very means that God wishes to lift me up out of it. God uses prayer to lift us up out of despair. He uses it. That's what He uses. Because in prayer, what do? We speak to God. We pour our hearts out to God. And we bless God. And we praise God for His goodness. And we're thankful to Him. And we ask and we acknowledge His sovereignty. We acknowledge His authority over us. We acknowledge His lordship over us. And by doing that, we submit ourselves to God. Prayer is it's an act of submission to God. Those that pray less are not submitted to God. I don't mean the time limit. We're not putting a clock on it. I mean when you don't go to God in prayer. Comparing yourselves among yourselves is not wise. We're not all using a time clock and saying, well, this person prays this amount of minutes and this person. That's not what the Bible's speaking of. It's saying that we are to pray. We're to always be in the mindset. I'm telling you what. When you're swinging a hammer or you're climbing a pole, Lord, please help me with this. What is that? That's ceaseless prayer, right? Amen? I didn't say it was like 4 hours long. God didn't say it either, did He? No, He said that's ceaseless prayer. That's what it is. God, help me with this. Lord, help me with that. Lord, thank You for this. Lord, thank You for that. Lord, help me with this, please. Lord, forgive me for this. Help me with this. That's a mindset of prayer. I'm at work. Well, yeah, I can't stop it. I'm not a Muslim, so I'm not going to get my prayer rug out in front of everybody and bow down and do all. Well, of course not, because most of that's all for a show. They're praying to devils. That's who they're praying to. They don't have God. But there are times when you and I, when we are walking around and we are doing things and we should be praying, asking God instead of worrying, saying, "Lord, I need wisdom." And man, you know how many times I've been doing a job, even out of the property there, and I'm working on something, and I'm like, "Man, I got to stop and pray. I just got to pray and ask God to help me with this because I'm getting." And boy, I'll tell you what, it never fails. Right after I get done praying, there you go. All works out. Should have done it before. Right? Should have done it before. But at different times, that we take for granted so many things, but we should be praying. Man, I'll tell you what. Turning the corner down the road, man, sometimes that's kind of crazy out there driving, right? Kid got killed out there by Garrick out there. Just turned in front of a semi. And you ought to pray, God, please keep us safe as we travel. Give us safety as we drive. Give us safety as we go. Always in that mind. And Lord, thank you for your safety you've given us. Thank you for being merciful to us and protecting us and keeping us. Praying people take their complaints to God. They don't practice murmuring and complaining against God. The apostle rises high above this, says one, when he says this, "In everything give thanks." He knew that the Thessalonians had been visited by suffering and death. And he told them there's even a place of thanksgiving here for that. For the Christian does not look on sorrow with the eyes of another man. When sickness comes to him or to his home, when there's a loss to be borne or disappointment or bereavement, when his plans are frustrated, his hopes deferred, and the whole conduct of his life simply taken out of his hands, he is still called to give thanks unto God. For he knows that God is love, and he knows that God has a purpose of his own in this life. A purpose which at the moment he may not discern, but which he is bound to believe wiser and larger than anything he could purpose for himself. Everyone who has eyes to see must have seen in the lives of Christian men and women fruits of sorrow and of suffering, which were conspicuously their best possessions, the things for which the whole church was under obligation to give thanks to God on their behalf. It is not easy at the moment to see what underlies sorrow. It is not possible to grasp by anticipation the beautiful fruits which it yields in the long run to those who accept it without murmuring. But every Christian knows that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them are the called according to his purpose. And in the strength of that knowledge, he is able to keep a thankful heart, however mysterious and trying the providences of God may be. He's able to believe God by faith and say, "You know what? I don't know why God is allowing this to happen, but I know God knows best. I know that God knows best for everything." That sorrow, even the deepest and most hopeless, has been blessed. No one can deny. It has taught many a deeper thoughtfulness, a truer estimate of the world and its interests, a more simple trust in God. Extreme sorrow, going to the house of mourning for the Christian, has always led them to have compassion for others, has always led them to be to seek God's face more, to walk more intimately with God than they did before. It has opened the eyes of many to the sufferings of others and changed boisterous rudeness into tender and delicate sympathy. This type of sorrow that man has endured, the Christian man has endured, that gives thanks through it, has given many weak ones the opportunity of demonstrating the nearness and the strength of Christ, as out of weakness they've been made strong. Often the sufferer in a home is the most thankful member of it. Often the bedside is the sunniest spot in the house, though the bedridden one knows that he or she will never be free again. It is not impossible for a Christian in everything to give thanks. It is not. And lastly, it's the will of God. Giving thanks is the will of God for the believer's life. You know, the heathen are reproved for not being thankful. In Romans 1:21, it says they're unthankful, right? But they actually made laws to punish it also and accounted it a great reproach. Heathens did when people weren't thankful. It is required by the law of God that it is written, the moral law requires thankfulness. God's own law in the Old Testament required. They had a ceremonial law required offerings by the way of thanksgiving, right? And the gospel requires it, being one of the gospel sacrifices in Hebrews chapter 13. Turn there. Verse number 15. In the gospel, we offer that. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That's the offering of sacrifice and praise by Jesus Christ. You know why I can give thanks? Because I have Jesus. And I have a lot to be thankful for because of what Jesus has done for me. Now, the further you are away from Christ, the less thankful you'll be. When you're not walking close to the Lord, you won't be thankful. By the way, thankfulness and gratefulness, it pleases the Lord better than the greatest of all legal sacrifices. Turn to Psalm 69:30. David says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. What does it say here? God is well pleased with not the giving of your offerings and your tithes as much as the giving of your praise. Your thankfulness. God is well pleased with a thankful spirit. He is well pleased with his children being thankful. And he says, you know what? Hey, there's some, you know what? There, you may be here and you may have a desire to say, you know what? I wish I could give more money to God. I wish I could give more things to God. I wish I could give more of that to God. And your heart is, you know what? I don't get to give. There's other men that can give more, other people that can give more than me, and I can't give that kind. You know what you can give? You can give praise to God. You can give thanksgiving to God. You can have a thankful heart and a blessing. And what does it say here that will happen? This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad. You'll encourage other people by having a thankful and grateful spirit. God looks at that. God sees that. It pleases him. It's the will of God. And it's pleasing. God's will is always pleasing to him. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. By the way, the Christian is the only one that can properly give thanks unto the Lord in all things. The lost cannot do it. They cannot. Christians learn to do it. Paul said he learned that whatsoever state he was in therewith to be content. You say, so I'm a Christian, so I just come with that naturally and I'm always going to be thankful? No, you have to practice it. You have to praise God. You have to perfect praise. You have to practice it. You have to practice praising God. You have to meditate on praising God. You have to meditate on being thankful. Why? Well, because by nature we're very grumbly. And some more than others. Right? By nature, grumblers and complainers. Critical. Right? Critical by nature. Complaining by nature. Not happy with what you've received. Discontented by nature. Right? So when you're like that, guess what? You've got to learn to, you have to practice it. It's the will of God and you can do it because God's commanded it. And God never commands his children to do something that is not possible. If they walk in the Spirit, they can do it. If they deny the flesh, they can do it. If they pray without ceasing, they can do it. God's people are the only ones that can give thanks. Why? Because everything does work together for good. God's promise is there for that. So that's why we are able to see the future in that sense and understand, well, God promised me that all these things are going to work together. And by faith, I believe God. I believe him. I don't know why he chose things to be this way, but I'm not God. So I have to submit to him. I have to surrender to him. And I have to say God is always right. And whatever he decides to do, he's always right. Whatever his will is, it's always right. He commands them to pray without ceasing because he gave them his spirit to enable them to do that. He commands us to give thanks in all things because we are able to do it. That you and I should profit by every occurrence in life, and that you and I would be continually grateful and obedient. For gratitude and obedience are inseparably connected. Being obedient. If you have a grateful heart, you'll be obedient to God. To whom much is given, much shall be required. He loved much. He was forgiven much, so what? He loved much. Right? People wonder why sometimes some men have more zeal than others. Some men, they have more of that fire and that and those things. Well, because they were forgiven much, so they love much. God enlarges their capacity to do that. Because, why? Because they were forgiven much. They remember what they were. They know what God saved them out of. They know what hell they lived. They know what they were. And they know what they could be if Jesus didn't preserve them and keep them. So that fires them. That gives them that zeal and that fire. And it's contagious. By the way, that's contagious. Amen. That thankful spirit, that praise to God is contagious. That boldness to do such things is contagious. That's why God calls men into the ministry. That's why God empowers them and He gives them their power to preach the Bible and to do those things. Why? To encourage all of you to be that way. To encourage all of you to be fiery up like that. To be fired up and to be walking in the fear of the Lord and to be thankful to God and to praise His name. And encourage others to do the same. That's why. That's what God's will is. That's what His will is for you. That you get excited about something. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. That we give thanks. Seeing God is reconciled to us in Christ Jesus. In Him and through Him. And for His sake, He allows us to rejoice evermore. And appoints us in everything to give thanks. Thankful hearts. Full of thanksgiving to the will of God. That's what our lives, that's what our mindset is supposed to be. And some men may ask of the will of God, and the question is to be asked, the question can be answered very simply in one of these aspects is this, is that you're thankful. That you give thanks. That you give thanks unto the Lord. For He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. The whole Psalm 107. The entire psalm, and we're almost done, but the entire psalm we won't read it all, but oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Over and over again He talks about giving of thanks. And God's mercy enduring forever. And God's goodness, right? And God taking care of His children. Over and over and over. The next one, Psalm 108. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, He says in Psalm 109. Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Over and over and over again, giving thanks unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Over and over again. This is a thankful spirit. It is the will of God. It is His desire in Christ. This is what God is pleased to require you to perform in the name of the Lord. In the gift of that Savior, He has laid the foundation for that claim. And He requires it of you. That you should not be unmindful in your obligations. That we should offer the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We do this now, and this is how we do it, is because Jesus is in heaven interceding for us upon our behalf. He's already got the victory for us. And you and I will see at the close of this life and in heaven, we'll see the occasion to bless God for all His dealings with us. We will see that we have not suffered one pang too much or been required to perform one duty too severe. We will see that all our afflictions, as well as our mercies, were designed for our good and were needful for us. The question is asked, why then should we not bless God in the furnace as well as in the palace? On a bed of pain as well as on a bed of down. In want as well as when sitting down at the splendid banquet. God knows what is best for us, and the way in which He leads us, mysteriously, though it may seem to be now, will yet be seen to have been full of goodness and mercy. But He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's God's promise. That is the will of God. That's what God expects from His children. I hope that you are obeying the will of God, because obedience and gratefulness go hand in hand. People that are grateful to God for their salvation, they're grateful to God for what He has done, they're obedient to Him. They love Him and they want to obey Him. Their flesh will get in the way, definitely. They'll battle it. They'll fight it. The flesh will war against the spirit. But there's still a desire, an underlying desire to follow the Lord no matter what. Because much has been given to us. We were forgiven much and we ought to love much. We ought to be thankful people. The question asked today should be, are you thankful? Do you practice that praise and thankfulness to God every day? Moment by moment, being thankful. We know not when life is full of changes. As you know, some of you that have lived on this earth a lot longer than myself understand that life is full of changes. And change is very hard for God's people to accept. For anybody, really, to accept change. But let me say this to you. Be thankful for every moment that you have. Be thankful for your life that God has given you. Be thankful for the fellowship that you have. Be thankful for the parents that you have. Be thankful for the family that you have. Be thankful for the spouse that you have, for the church that you have, for even the nation that you live in, and the greatness of God to spare you and to keep you from evil. Be thankful unto the Lord and praise His name. Right? Be thankful. Exercise and practice that. Express that thankfulness. Brother Andrew, do we have that song, Thanks to God, in this songbook? I believe we do, don't we? Why don't you come up here and let's sing that song together. Why don't we all stand to our feet here and let's sing that song and be thankful to the Lord. And I believe it's in there. I'm pretty sure I saw it in there. Thanks to God, I believe is what it's called.